This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
In a world without government statistics,
balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The biggest of banks today reported its first quarterly loss since CEO Jamie Dimon took power. JPMorgan Chase is stuck in a web of legal and regulatory probes, and its legal bills are huge. When you adjust for this, profits were decent. And in early trading, Morgan's stock went up 1.5%. The big name in home loans is Wells Fargo. Its profits today were up 13%, although mortgage lending was way down this quarter. Its stock in early trading was also down. On Fridays, we check in with Chris Lowe, a man who is normally fully laden with economic statistics from the government. Morning, Chris.
Good morning, David.
But with the shutdown, it's no longer visual flight rules. You're flying on instruments, I think. Can you tell me anything about, for instance, back-to-school retail sales in September?
Well, yeah, it's exactly like flying on instruments. We have reports today from retailers in the Wall Street Journal on Bloomberg that back-to-school sales were disappointing despite aggressive discounting. So the problem is these data don't always agree with the government data, and that's because the biggest retailer, Walmart, doesn't report monthly anymore. So we've got sort of this glaring gap.
So it would be nice to get the government data on retail sales in September. That's due Tuesday, but who knows if it'll come out with the government shutdown.
Well, that's right, you know. And of course, the offer that's on the table right now is to extend the debt ceiling, which honestly would be a very good thing, but not to reopen the government. So we'll have to see what they come up with over the weekend.
Now, here's something interesting, Chris. Reports that Hong Kong authorities are telling stock market investors there that if they want to use U.S. treasuries as collateral, they got to pony up more of the treasury since the U.S. isn't, what, Chris, isn't as trustworthy?
You know, this is actually, it is kind of troubling because in the world of collateral, a dollar is a dollar. U.S. government securities are the safest thing you can post, and so you don't have to provide as much of it. To me, this is somewhat reminiscent of two summers ago when exchanges around the world told people who had posted Greek debt that they had to pony up more because there was a threat of default there.
Great. And in this comparison, the United States is now being thought of as a kind of Greece. Chris Lowe, FTN Financial, thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
Also today, the Wall Street Journal is reporting that the government is rethinking how it releases economic statistics during normal times. There's a concern some investors are getting a jump on some of that data. The journal cites unnamed sources and calls the reevaluation preliminary.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf. Online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
Under the new changes to health care in America, many people are just learning that they can get bigger discounts if they take steps to get healthier. Workplace wellness plans can now offer a carrot of up to 30% off the premium. Lunchtime yoga is one thing, but what if this requires wearing a health tracking device? Stan Alcorn reports.
Sam Bernstein is standing by her desk, on her smartphone, scrolling through her coworker's sleep habits.
I'm like, Elise didn't get that much deep sleep. Sarah Kay did. Kalisa, great night's sleep. I think that's cool.
They all work at Tasting Table, a daily email for foodies. And for the last week, they've been using the Jawbone Up, a rubber wristband that tracks your steps and your sleep. They got them at a staff lunch.
Okay, everybody, hello.
where CEO Jeff Bartikovics presented them as a fitness benefit.
What's one of the challenges around working at Tasting Table when it comes to health? Lauren?
Too much food.
Whoever walks the most wins fitness classes. But big insurance companies are backing software that could help employers tie that tracking data to lower monthly premiums.
It's a surveillance program. It's a self-surveillance program.
Heather Patterson is a privacy law scholar who thinks this is an area that needs more regulation. She says 24/7 tracking comes with a risk of oversharing.
People tend to forget that they're wearing them. They forget that this data is being collected all of the time and transmitted.
From tracking when you go to bed to how much you weigh, that personal data is potentially useful to doctors and insurers. But mobile health expert Deborah Estrin says the main use is to help motivate people.
The research has already been done to know what's not good and what people could be doing to lead healthier lives. The puzzle is that it's clearly so hard to make those changes.
At Tasting Table, the changes have been pretty modest. A week into the bracelet experiment, Sam Bernstein says she gets excited when she has time to walk home.
And the other day I was making coffee and I was waiting for it to finish brewing. And so I was just like walking laps around the island over there.
Her motivation doesn't come from winning a prize. It's more about good old fashioned peer pressure from her coworkers.
It's fun that everyone's doing it. I don't know how interested I'd be if it was just me.
In New York, I'm Stan Alcorn for Marketplace.
And it was the week that the president nominated Janet Yellen to become chair of the Federal Reserve, accompanied by many reminders that this is arguably the most powerful economic policy position in the world. In the October 7th New Yorker magazine, there's a David Tsipras cartoon. At home with Ben Bernanke, it says. The cartoon depicts the current Fed chairman alone at the dinner table looking frightened. From off in the kitchen, someone's hollering.
And if you think that every time you open your mouth around here, everyone's going to dance to your tune, you've got another thing coming, Mr. Federal Reserve.
That's my colleague Katie Long doing the dramatic reading. But I'd like to hear you reading Tsipras' caption aloud. Go to our website where you can record it at a thing called Marketplace Voicemail, and we will play the best one on the air next week. Marketplace.org, of course, is the site. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.